Well, good morning. Good to see you. It's great to be with you this morning as we continue our worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a great thing for this body to gather, and for all those that are here maybe for the first time, we welcome you to our service this morning. We're going to start, we've got a mini-series in the next 3 weeks called Family Life at Bethel, and today is our first message in that, and we're going to be talking about doing life together. I love this time of year at Bethel when ministries start up again. Some of them are old ministries, some of them are new ministries. There's new energy, there's a new focus, fresh focus. The summer ends, and we start into the fall, and at Bethel, we want new focus and fresh focus and energy as we start and embark on a new year of ministry. I know it's not the new year in terms of January, but it's a new year for ministry, as typically we start in September, and we run right through the year until a spring break or into the summer introduction. Well, you notice that we already announced this morning that we're going to be hosting a ministry fair next Sunday, September the 18th, which will feature all the ministries here at Bethel. This is not an exhaustive list, but you'll have that, and it's at the back, and you can pick it up, and you can look at all the things that are happening here at Bethel. Our main goal in this ministry fair is to encourage our church and our family to get involved in ministries. You've already heard this. To talk to ministry leaders and to find out where we might be able to use our gifting that comes from our eternal Father and the interests that we may have to get plugged in to the many programs and the ministry needs that are part of and what form the outreach and inreach that we practice and participate in here at Bethel. If you go to our webpage, BethelBibleChapel.com, and you click on About, and then you go to Our Beliefs, you will see something that comes up, and it's our mission or our purpose statement. And I'd like to read it, and it's going to be on there, and you can follow along. But the purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard it already this morning. And through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equips the believers to serve God and share their faith as a way of life. Now, if it sounds like I'm going quickly this morning, I have to go quickly because we have lots of ground to cover. So I'll try not to speak too fast that you can't understand me, but that's our mission or our purpose statement. Well, I can't think of anything more concise, direct, solid, clear as this purpose statement for Bethel Bible Chapel. It would be our prayer as the leadership here, as well as all you that participate, that that would be true of all of us in our intent as we gather here as part of the local body here at Bethel Bible Chapel. Well, this year in the spring, we published a 5-year vision statement. It can be found on our webpage as well under News and Events. And it's going to come up here, and we're going to just go through it real quick, but I'm not going to read it at all. But you'll notice that it's pretty expansive, and I would ask each one of you to take time to read this 5-year mission, 5-year vision statement, in order for you to see where our path is moving forward as a Christ-centered community. We call this mission statement, this vision statement, doing life together. Now, I want you to focus on caring. And I'm not sure how far we got, but let's just read this together. We see that Bethel Bible will continue to be a caring, Christ-centered community for people at all stages of Christian maturity. And we're going to hear about Christian maturity next week in a Where We Go From Here message. And from all social and cultural backgrounds, we will continue to value multi-generational fellowship and cultivate an environment in which this occurs both intentionally and organically on Sunday and in our ministries throughout the week. Next page. Nathan's doing a fine job back there. Oh, we see Bethel as being unified. Okay, we got to go back to caring. Okay, so let me finish it off. if we don't have it. Under caring, go to the next one. Yep, you're right. We see Bethel being unified in the Holy Spirit and in our love for the Lord and in our love for each other. Interesting. And we want to foster a greater sense of belonging and commitment to Bethel as a church family. Next page. We see greater participation in small groups where close Christian fellowship can be nurtured on a weekly basis. We will seek to help meet each other's material and spiritual needs. We will encourage each other, pray with each other, speak truth in love, and spur one another on toward good works, good deeds. That's doing life together here at Bethel Bible Chapel. One of the ministries that at the heart of caring, we've already featured it here in this caring, is our small group ministry. It's part of at the heart of our mission statement as well as our vision statement. And we believe that small groups is a place where we can fulfill that love and participation as a body together that helps us do life in a meaningful way together. We believe it's biblically sound and is demonstrated in the New Testament scriptures. We believe that meeting in small groups was actually modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his own small group of those 12 disciples and for 3 years ministered to them and worked with them and was with them day and night. It continued into the early church. We read this in Acts chapter 2, verses 42, 47. We're going to speak a little bit about that if we have time at the end of our service. You'll also see reference to being together as a body encouraging in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. You can write these down and do a quick reference when you get home. Also in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. We're going to speak about some of that more specifically. We believe that small groups is instructed in Scripture. In Hebrews 10, 25, it says, "Forsaking not getting together, but to encourage each other and exhort each other in love." And we think it's also encouraged by a promise from the Lord himself in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. This is what he talks about where believers come together, whether it's in this body of believers as a group or individually, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord has called us, his church, both universal and local, his body, his bride, to do life together, both corporately and personally. Meeting as a church assembled here, as I already mentioned, is our corporate response. There's nothing like it. You know, the last 2.5 years, we experienced what it's like not to do this. And I think I need to hear from you in a sounding AM. Isn't it great to be gathered together again? Isn't it great for us to have fellowship side by side, directly looking at each other face to face, being able to touch and feel and see what we're doing each other, doing in the life of each other as we move forward in our worship for the King of Kings? I love worshiping together. I look forward to Sundays being together with each one of you in corporate worship. But we're also called to worship personally. Meeting together house to house, small group to small group, and just to encourage and be with each other as we grow in Christ. We read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Listen to these words. This is from the ESV version. "Therefore, encourage one another," remember that one another, "and build one another up just as you are doing." Interesting, this phrase "one another" means one another, each other, mutually and reciprocally. In other words, it's a two-way street. You've heard of that. You give and they give, and together you give with each other. There are, this phrase occurs 100 times, one another, 100 times in the New Testament. And in those 100 times, there's 59 direct and specific commands where we're to do something for one another. In fact, it's been said by some, and primarily some people have made the statement that the primary activity of the church was and is one anothering one another. Isn't that neat? one anothering one another. Now, here's a list of some of the things. And there's 59, so we're not going to do 59. We don't have time. Love one another, John 13. Be devoted to one another, Romans 12. Honor one another, Romans 12. Again, build each other up, 1 Thessalonians 5. Admonish one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear for burdens of each other, one another. Speak the truth in love to one another. Look at the interests of others, bear one another, teach one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, and pray for one another. That's just some of the 59 direct commands of our Lord as a body to do something with each other. You know, nowhere in Scripture does it call for us or does it make any reference that we are to be independent believers. My father used to say, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. And maybe that's a little time-dated for some of you, but you're not out there alone. We can't be out there alone. We're part of a body that requires each and every one of us to function as the part that God has enabled us to function for. You know, in Romans chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 makes it very clear that this body's knit together, and it's specific to the body needs given in gifts to the church. And by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we're given these gifts to supply the need and the body's needs. So we believe that as you do this in not only corporate fashion here, but so many don't do this in corporate fashion, so you do it in a place where you can flourish and grow, and a great place to do that is home cell groups or small groups. God's working in and through this ministry, and you know, you can listen to me talk about this all day, but how? What better way to do this than to other than or a better way to do this would be to have testimonies for people that have experienced something great and wonderful and blessed by meeting in small groups. So I'm going to have some people that come up and share with you us this morning, and the first testimonies are going to be Nick and Mary Perino, and we're going to do this, Nick and Mary, and I think this is going to work. And if you can come up and just give us your heart and feeling towards this ministry that you've experienced.
You're first. Good morning. We are delighted to share our thoughts on how we benefited by participating in small groups. Firstly, in small groups, I've enjoyed meeting people I did not know before. It was wonderful getting to know each other and new people through the small group experience. I counted this as a real blessing. And as a bonus, our current group loves to eat. You would think they were Italian. We had a tasty appetizer night, a great potluck, and a delicious barbecue. This group loved to celebrate any occasion, and we have fun together. It is in small groups that people can get close enough to know each other, to care and to share, to challenge, to support, and perhaps even be accountable to one another.
Yes.
Secondly, on a personal note, I am so thankful for our small group and the power of praying together. In August of 2021, my 62-year-old brother, Frank, was rushed to the Sioux Area Hospital with a massive stroke. Shortly after, he was airlifted to London, where an emergency operation took place at 4 a.m. It was a life and death situation. The operation was a success, but Frank had severe speech difficulty, and he had major issues with his whole left side, which required long and extensive period of physical therapy and rehab. Last October, in our small group, I asked for prayer for Frank's condition. Coincidentally, in rehab at the Sioux Area Hospital, right across the hall from my brother Frank, was our very own Ken Overman, who was recuperating from his own life-threatening operation. The two got to know each other fairly well. I know that people in small groups were praying fervently, continuously, and faithfully for months for both Ken and Frank. And I was comforted by this. God was so good, and both Frank and Ken have made remarkable progress.
Praise the Lord.
Prayer is powerful, and it cannot be overrated. A small group is a wonderful forum for focused prayer.
Mary has mentioned the value of small groups in terms of getting to new people and apparently eating and being uplifted by focused prayer. I would like to share two simple observations of my own. First, small groups provides an interactive and comfortable environment in which to read God's word and discuss how it applies to our lives. Invariably, after reading the same Bible passage in a small group session, different insights and observations emerge. Reading and discussing scriptures in the company of friends is something I value about small groups. Secondly, I love that in small groups you are exposed to thought-provoking, challenging, and inspirational Christian books. I would briefly like to share my thoughts on one such book by Chip Ingram entitled God as He Longs for You to See Him. This book dealt with seven attributes. There are many more, but seven attributes of God as revealed in Scripture, namely God's goodness, sovereignty, holiness, wisdom, justice, love, and faithfulness. While all seven attributes are important descriptors of our great God, one attribute, sovereignty, didn't resonate with me at all until I read through the chapter. Then I had my own spiritual epiphany. I'm glad I'm over that word. The concept of God's sovereignty helped me to make sense of things in life that otherwise make no sense. Now, when life's unexpected tragedies hit and things go from bad to worse, whatever the calamity, through sorrow, pain, and grief, I know He is still sovereign.
Amen.
And He is still in control.
Yeah.
He has everything in the palm of His hands, and I am nestled safely by God's grace in those same hands. Ingram's book helped me to appreciate God's sovereignty in new and powerful ways. I doubt I would have ever read this book had it not been chosen for a small group study. I am sure many here have your own favorite books or books from small group sessions that have helped you to grow spiritually. In closing, reading the Bible together, exploring great Christian literature together, small groups, big blessings, consider joining one soon.
Thank you, Nick and Mary. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys, for your testimony. Next, we're going to have Jennifer Junyasaitis come up and share her experiences.
Hello.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been attending Bethel for 15 years, although you may not know that because I tend to be quiet and introverted. And in fact, I was nervous to speak today, but after sitting through 9:30 and 11 service and hearing people say the exact same verses that I had written down, I felt comforted that God must have at least given me some of these words here. So I've been attending small groups for almost as long as I've been coming here. And in thinking of what the benefits or reasons have been, I came up with three thoughts about its benefits and scriptures that apply. So the first and foremost is the benefit of the opportunity to study God's word. We are commanded to do so, and we are told of the blessings we receive if we do so. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." With all the mentions of meditating day and night and studying it all and everything, we would be undernourished if we only heard his word on a Sunday. But like daily bread, we are meant to regularly consume it and digest it to fully reap all its benefits. I do study quite a bit of scripture on my own, and so someone could say, well, I can just do this study of the Bible on my own to reap these benefits. It doesn't mean I have to join a small group. But that brings me to my second thought, that we are the body of Christ and all our parts are interrelated and benefit each other. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." In the small groups that I've been in the past, we have had people in all ages and stages of life, married, single, widowed, and with different ages of children, and people who have studied the Bible for 50 years and some who were there for the first time, and then everything in between. And although the Holy Spirit can illumine any verses for us on our own and doesn't need to use other people, that is one of the ways God chooses to reveal his wisdom to us through other people. And I would see that in our groups, that because of someone's life experience, a verse stood out to them, and I had never noticed it or wasn't familiar with it. So my study of the Bible was enhanced by these contributions from others and their experiences. And also Matthew 18:20 says, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And tied into that, the other benefit of being in a small group is fellowship. We are a large church, which is great, but it is difficult to get to know everyone or know when someone may have a need. And again, since we are a body of Christ, interacting and meeting needs is not just for a few people or just those in leadership to attend to, it's for all of us. I think that small groups is the perfect opportunity to get to know people that you normally wouldn't, since we tend to gravitate to those who are the same age or stage of life. And it's an opportunity to build relationships and support one another in a smaller, closer group. And with those relationships being built, people might feel more inclined to share some private prayer requests that they wouldn't feel comfortable presenting to the whole congregation. And we can pray as a group and check in with one another. Or as for practical needs, we just saw an example of that in another small group Bible study that I was a part of, that a practical need was presented, and we as individuals in that group were able to meet that need. And it was special to see God's love flowing through people to his children and just how it all materialized to do so. So we're called to pray for and walk alongside one another in this life. And there are a few commands for this in a variety of Paul's letters, which Andrew read, but I'll read them. Encourage one another and build each other up. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. 2 Corinthians 1:3 talks about the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive ourselves from God. And Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. On that note, I was thinking how our time on earth is short and will soon pass away, and Dave referred to it in the 9:30 service, and that what will remain and last are God, God's word, and God's people. So it would seem that we would be wise to devote our time to those things that are eternal. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So if you've never attended a small group before, I would encourage you to come and participate. I know that I have benefited. And even on those nights when it was dark and snowy and I didn't feel like leaving my house, I was always glad I did. And it was enjoyable and energizing. Thanks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And our last participant this morning is Helen Carmichael. And Helen's going to come up and tell us her story. You do what you want to do.
Thank you, Jennifer. I think I don't need to say anything else. Bonjour. Good morning. My name is Helen Carmichael. Put my glasses on. I am here speaking with you first because of God's grace for me, for bringing me here in the Sioux and to Bethel Church. And second, I can't say no to Andrew. God blessed me with three children, beautiful children, two daughters, one 28, one 26, and a son 23 years old. Due to life unfortunate events, mostly the result of my rebellious action against God, my life path has brought me here to your beautiful city. So St. Mary, 8 months ago. Talk about beauty for ashes. December 22nd, 2021, I left Southern Ontario where I spent most of my adult life. I left my church, my children, my home, my friends, and followed God's prompting. You need to understand, I've never visited Sault Ste. Marie, let alone knew where it was or know anyone. I was buying a house. I didn't know which part of the city was being built. I was blind, but I knew God saw everything. He had my back, and did he ever. I was looking for a Bible-based teaching church, and again, God made a path for me. 2 weeks after my arrival, I found my way to Bethel. After the service, as I am leaving and passing the fireside lounge, Andrew reached out to me and welcomed me. He also informed me of the Wednesday Ladies Coffee Hour, and shortly after, invited me to his small group. Small group brought me a sense of belongings in an intimate way. It helped me to solidify some friendships, to dig deeper in the Word of God, surrounded by other Christians that are also hungry for the Word. It helped me to pause and reconnect with God in the middle of a sometime hectic week. I want to thank Andrew and Jennifer, Ray, Jeannie, and Jennifer, Laura, Tammy, Anne, and Kim for accepting me, loving me, and supporting me. And of course, thank you to the Bethel family for being part of the community and Body Jesus Church. I encourage you to join a small group to reconnect with God through the week and to fellowship with other Christians. Thank you.
So for those that don't know what a small group is, and you've heard the blessings by three different testimonies of how that looks, Jennifer, can you just come up and give us a quick snapshot of what a small group is? And maybe we can then put some bookends on what this ministry looks like.
What a blessing to hear the stories this morning, and just so thankful for this church family. So the purpose of small groups, if you haven't figured it out already through all the testimonies, it's to nurture an atmosphere in which people can care for and connect with one another while growing in personal faith and service for Jesus Christ. It's a place where we promote fellowship and unity, nurture spiritual gifts in a safe environment. It's not a substitute for church attendance, but it's an amazing enhancement to our church services. And we want to equip people to love, learn, serve, and reach out in their sphere of influence for the glory of God. So we do this weekly in small groups, 10 to 12 people. We gather generally in someone's home, sometimes at Bethel. Last year we gathered in the fireside room on a Wednesday night, but mostly we do it in homes. Our hosts and our homes provide cold drink and a warm drink and a warm home for a couple of hours, generally on an evening, although this year I think we're even going to have an afternoon group here at the chapel. And we spend time praying together, we spend time a little bit of eating together, some groups more than others, and some groups even have a little bit of time of worship, and then we study God's word together. So we're still working on getting and matching our leaders and our host homes. And young families will get top priority if they would like to be a host home so that they can be involved and they don't have to go out of their house in the evening. They can get their kids somewhat settled and people can come into their home. So we're hoping to have signups available next Sunday at the ministry fair. If it doesn't all work out, it will be the following week, and there'll be a couple of weeks of sign-up, and then we will start at the beginning of October. We'll run to the end of November, and then we take a little break for the busyness of the December season, and we restart in January and go through to May. So prayerfully consider being involved in small group ministry, and Andrew and I are the coordinators, and so if you have any questions, come and see us. Thanks.
Thank you, Jennifer. So we're almost out of time. I think we just need to do a quick reading before we close off our service with a song that is relevant to what we're talking about this morning. But I just want to read Acts chapter 2, the early church, day of Pentecost. There was about 120 before the day of Pentecost that followed the Lord Jesus Christ after his death, burial, resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the number, and the church was born. And during that time, the idea of fellowship and prayer and the apostles' doctrine was instituted as a criteria for the early church and what they did. And they did it house to house because there were no mega churches in Jerusalem. And so this is the prayer. I'm going to just read this real quickly, starting at verse 41, Acts chapter 2. Follow along on the screen. And Nathan, you're doing a great job. Thank you. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. We heard about all these aspects, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising the Lord and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The early church, small groups. And think about those things that that Bible study was paramount. It's been always an essential part of church life is the Word of God. We heard about the value of that we had they continued in the apostles' doctrines. We have the whole canon of Scripture to study, and God's asked us to know Him through His Word, to understand what He would want in our life through His Word. That's how He speaks to us, and I think it's imperative and incumbent upon us as followers of Jesus Christ to understand what that is. We do that through Bible study. Great spot, not only collectively here, but also in small group. Fellowship, koinonia. That's the Greek word that it's translated from. It's called sharing or having in common. Communion relationship with a common interest. Sharing life together. Real needs, real people, doing real mission together. What a great way to participate with each other in like-minded believers sharing life. You know, we've been isolated for so long, we've missed that, and we just are so thankful that we can do this in our homes, do this here at the chapel, where we can connect again like the Lord would want us to. Breaking bread, not only in communion, but house to house. You know, I come from an Italian family, and the biggest social outlet was us sitting around the table. I used to bring my friends to our house, and they didn't know the routine, but we'd sit and talk, and then my dad would get out the Bible, we'd read at the end of a meal. And then all of a sudden, everybody would disappear on the chairs, kneeling down and praying, and they didn't know what happened here. But fellowship happened around our table, and we talked about life and real issues. And what better place to do that in our homes, in the intimacy of our own building, our own family lives, to meet and share with each other in a very special way. And prayer, we heard about this, absolute dependence on God with each other and for each other. Intercessory prayer, cares and burdens that we share, and joy and thanksgiving. Prayer needs to be a part of it as well. We can do this not only collectively here, but as we do life together in small groups. We're called by the Lord into community to encourage, edify, support, love, pray, all those one another's that we heard. As we embark on this new ministry year here at Bethel, let's get plugged in and involved, not just small group ministry, but all the ministries, one not more important than the other, but for our own personal growth, let's connect with each other in a deep way to do life together. Let's join in fellowship and in prayer and in Bible study and in sharing our homes and our meals to a body of believers that connect in a very special way that can be done in no other way. Andy Stanley says, it's really hard to do one another's sitting in pews or in a row. Agreed? It's very difficult when you meet here at church on Sunday morning for an hour and a half or 2 hours to do the one another's. But we can do the one another's as we meet through the week and we connect in a very special way. We're going to close in prayer, and our worship team's going to come up, and we're going to sing Bind Us Together. And this is going to be a cap song on what we've talked about this morning. Let's just, maybe we'll stand together and pray as we commit our time to the Lord and our new ministries for this new season. And we ask the Lord to bless each one of us as well as the whole church family here at Bethel. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of our believers, our fellow sisters and brothers in the Lord. Thank you for Nick and Mary and for Helen and Jen in their testimonies. Thank you for what you've been doing with many, many in this chapel, Lord. Thank you for your hand on our lives. And Lord, we would just ask that you would further bless us. Help us to connect in a very special way. Help us to put your word as important in front of us and the interaction with one another in caring for each other's burdens and cares. Lord, as we try to plug in our ministries with the gifting that you've given us, Lord, help us to be aware of that. Help us to get involved. Help us to be a cohesive family, a body that needs every part. And we thank you for this picture of a body and how it works, Lord. And we ask again that you would bless us as we embark on this new ministry season here at Bethel Bible Chapel. We help us to do life together in a significant way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.